At this fifth annual Indian Springs Bluegrass Festival, Appalachian Rain, and they're from Washington, D.C. You know, bluegrass has undergone a great number of changes in the last several years, and certainly one of the most apparent is the influx of young people, and with them, electrified instruments. In addition, many of the contemporary bands are writing their own material or adapting popular songs to their repertoire. Maybe the best way to understand all of this is to look back at the tradition of mountain music that engendered bluegrass and to follow some of the definitive changes brought to the music by Bill Monroe, the father of it all. Earlier, we had a chance to talk with Bill Clifton, an old-time musician and recording artist, and the organizer of the very first bluegrass festival in America in Luray, Virginia in 1961. I asked Bill about the history of bluegrass and its roots in old-time music.
Well, do you know, bluegrass, of course, is very much something that was a unique offshoot of old-time music. And one looks back at the old-time groups, some of my favorite groups like the Mainers, Wade and J.E. Mainer, and people who, the first record I ever bought was by Wiley and Zeke Morris, the Morris brothers. And their band in the late 1930s consisted of people like banjo pickers over a period of years. They had Earl Scruggs as one of their banjo players and a fellow named Don Reno. And their music was certainly a forerunner of what is now known as bluegrass.
How was it different?
Well, it was primarily a difference in attitude. First of all, for example, Wiley Morris has more of a baritone voice, and he is almost a crooner. He can take a song and give you a rendition which is almost a crooner's version, and I use that term like one talks about Bing Crosby or something. It's a very, very pleasant voice to listen to, but not a high tenor voice. And Bill Monroe, when he first began to use the combination of five-string banjo, mandolin, fiddle, guitar, and bass, the banjo player, of course, was String Bean, one of the first one he had, but then Earl Scruggs brought a three-finger style, and Bill Monroe interjected his high tenor voice, and the drive he has is enormous, and it's certainly one of the ingredients of traditional bluegrass music is the fantastic drive behind the instruments and the vocals.
The instruments were primarily the same, though, as those used in the old-timey music that came from Appalachia and Kentucky prior to Monroe's appearance on the scene?
Absolutely, and this is, of course, one of the things that I think few people realize, but as I say, many of the groups like Wiley and Zeke Morris did record, but often they recorded just by themselves or maybe just with a fiddle player or just with a bass player. And yet, when they were on the road, they were using bass and fiddle and banjo and... But that group didn't record, and so people don't hear that music today, and they wonder what it sounded like, but one can only look back and say, well, we know what Wiley and Zeke sounded like in the 30s, we know what they sounded like in the 40s, and we know basically the approach they had to the music, so it couldn't have been too different from bluegrass as we know it today, except in the attitude of vocals, which was a more of a crooning, a more relaxed style. And in terms of the drive, they were a much slower paced.
Is bluegrass music changing at all from what it was when Bill Monroe started making it?
Sure. I think the biggest change, though, is in choice of material rather than instrumentation. Basic bluegrass instrumentation, as you've heard at this festival and as you'll hear at any other festival, is still a five-piece band lined up with all acoustic instruments of banjo, guitar, fiddle, bass, and mandolin. And that hasn't changed, although some people bring dobros or auto harps or whatever into the group. It's still basically that same bluegrass boys lineup. And this doesn't seem to be changing, and the only real change is material. People seem to be reaching into the field of popular music now for their material, quite often selecting something from the rock field or the top 40 as material to use in bluegrass.
Bill Clifton, a man who's in a good position to talk about some of the changes he's seen in bluegrass in recent years. Next up is a group that's probably done more than any other band to bring about those changes, and in the process they've popularized bluegrass both here and around the world, becoming the cornerstone of that style known as newgrass. On stage now at Indian Springs, John Duffy, Mike Aldridge, John Starling, Ben Eldridge, and Tom Gray. The Seldom Seen.